Beautiful song, and that is what Easter is all about. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And we celebrate that, and that is why we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call your attention here to Mark chapter 16, and the question that is asked in verse 3, they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And the title of the message this morning is, "Who shall roll away the stone?" Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching today, and I ask for your guidance and direction in all of our lives, that you will show us from the Scripture exactly what we need. I pray you'll speak to hearts. If there's anyone here not saved, that today be the day they'd come to Christ, they'd be saved. Lord, help them and not to go another Easter without knowing for sure they're going to heaven. And please, save the lost today. And then help Christians as well. Lord, roll away some difficulties, some obstacles in people's lives today that they might see, Lord, the many, many blessings that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, verse 6 really says it all. He saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." And it's said different ways in other passages, but basically they're saying he's gone. He's no longer there, and now death has been conquered. And praise the Lord for that. But you know, before that, and I take you back to before that, and 3 days before, of course, the Lord Jesus was crucified. The Bible is very, very clear. It is very graphic detail of Jesus' death on the cross. And it is not a pleasant thing. It is not a wonderful thing. It is certainly, it is very gory as you read the scriptural account of Jesus dying on the cross. The whipping of the cat of nine tails alone was unbelievable to imagine what the Lord went through, as the cat of nine tails whip would literally peel the skin from the body of a man. And 39 lashes with that, many, many people died at the hand of the guard with the whipping of the cat of nine tails. And of course, Jesus was beaten by the fists of men. He was beaten with rods of men. He was spit upon. His beard was pulled from his flesh. And then he's nailed to an old rugged cross. And of course, Jesus on that cross called out the words, "It is finished." And we'll come back to that in a minute. But at that point, I believe the devil was laughing. I think the demons, perhaps in their own way, they were cheering. I think Rome was breathing a sigh of relief, and certainly the Jewish priests were breathing a sigh of relief as well, because he's been crucified, he's dead, it's all over, we've won. You know, a normal burial, verse 46 of chapter 15, it says, "And he bought fine linen and took him down," talking about the body of Jesus. It says, Joseph here, he bought fine linen, he took him down, he wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And that was very customary. It was a very normal kind of a burial. And then after that, Matthew tells us in chapter 27, go ahead and turn there real quick, Matthew 27 and verse 62, another thing took place. The stone has been rolled in place. And Matthew 27 and verse 62, it's very interesting. The Bible says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deceiver," they're talking here about Jesus, that deceiver said, "While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." So they knew that that was what Jesus said. They talked about it. They had spread word. By the way, this is hard. It's hard for you to imagine this, but this was even before Facebook. What? I know, it's hard to imagine there was ever a time like that. But they had passed the word on. They knew Jesus said, "I'm going to rise again." And so they said, wait a minute, we can't have that. Verse 64, "Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.'" So in their minds, they thought, well, these disciples are going to want to keep this thing going, and so they'll steal his body and say he rose from the grave. And notice this, they said, so the last error shall be worse than the first. I mean, if people believe he rose from the grave, can you imagine what that's going to do? I mean, folks are going to believe this way. They're going to follow him. It might start some kind of religion. Yeah, they were scared to death of that happening, weren't they? So now they say, we've got to do something. I mean, we know that he's dead. We know he's been buried in that tomb. We know the stone has been rolled in place. Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. And so a watch is their guards. You have your guards. Go ahead and put all your guards there and make it as sure as you can. And the Bible says in verse 66, so they went and made the sepulcher sure. In other words, they have guards all around it, sealing the stone and setting a watch, literally putting a seal on that stone that basically said, no one is to ever tamper with this stone, because if you do, it is punishable by death. And so now they have sealed the stone. The stone is a huge stone. They have posted guards around it. You know, again, all because Jesus said, I will rise from the dead. And so now they've got it all under control, right? The stone is in place. The seal of not only the government seal, but the Sanhedrin seal of the priests, that is there. Nobody's going to mess with it. Nobody can tamper with it. And then they post guards. There's guards there. They're making sure nobody is going to mess with this tomb. Well, they didn't know what really to plan for, I don't think. Because I guarantee it got messed with big time. And verse 1 now, you come to chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And they're coming to anoint the body. And so they're going to need to get in the tomb to do that. And it says very early in the morning, first day of the week, very early. Again, we're talking about early in the morning, before dawn. They came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. The sun's just starting to rise. And all of a sudden it hits them. All of a sudden they remember that big stone being put at the entrance of that tomb. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone? I mean, these three ladies, there's no way they are going to be able to do this. The Bible says in verse 4 that it was very great, this stone that was rolled in front of that entrance. And they said, who is going to, and in my mind, I imagine they're weeping. They're thinking about the Lord, how he was crucified. They're thinking about how his body had been just beaten and mangled. And of course, they're coming to anoint that body. And they're thinking about what they're going to see. And they're just so discouraged. Can you imagine what they're going through trying to think about how this is going to be? And all of a sudden, it hits them. How can we get in that tomb? We cannot possibly move that great stone. Their lives are about to be changed. Literally, their lives are about to be changed. From tears to astonishment. That's what's about ready to happen to them. And their question, who shall roll away the stone, is about to be answered. They soon would see. That stone would weigh about 1.5 tons. It would be 4 to 6 feet wide, perhaps. It would be about 1 foot thick, solid stone, about 1 to 2 tons that stone would weigh. And typically it would roll into place and it would take several men to be able to move that. But you know, that obstacle that was in their way, and by the way, if you have to understand that here is this stone, this obstacle that is going to be the difference between sorrow and joy. It's going to be the difference between hopeless and all the hope in the world. It's just a matter of that stone getting rolled away and moved out of place. That obstacle moved would literally change their lives. In another passage, I believe in Matthew, it says there was a great earthquake. We know what that was. The stone was getting moved. Angel of the Lord, the Bible says in Matthew, it says an angel of the Lord came and moved that stone. By the way, where's the guards? Oh, they left. We'll find out about them in a few minutes. Who shall roll away the stone? God will roll away the stone. Who is going to remove? I mean, we have come. We want to see. We want to go into the tomb. Oh, they want to anoint the body of Jesus. They've accepted the fact that he's died. They've accepted the fact that he's been buried. They've accepted, but listen to me. What they don't know is their lives are about to be changed because an obstacle is going to be rolled out of the way so they can see in that tomb. And guess what? That tomb is empty. They could see in. By the way, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could leave. Jesus left long before that time. The stone was, by the way, he just walked through it. Amen. If he can pass through the grave clothes that he was wearing, he can pass through a stone. If he can enter into the room where the disciples were all meeting, the doors being shut, hey, it's no problem for him to just walk through a stone. And he walked through the stone many hours before that. And then the angel comes. And again, we have this idea. Well, why would they have to have that stone rolled away if Jesus got out earlier? It was so that we could see in. That's why the stone was rolled away. But who shall roll away the stone? Well, the Lord is going to roll away the stone. And this understand, this stone represents a lot of obstacles that have to be rolled away today for you and I. It represents to me some obstacles I had to deal with as a teenager before I trusted Christ as my Savior. It represents some obstacles, some things that are in the way that are really the difference today between sorrow and joy, the difference between belief and unbelief, the difference today between hopelessness and hope and all the hope in the world, the difference today between being a friend with death and being afraid of death. It's a difference of having that stone rolled away and being able to look in that tomb and see he's not here. He's not here. We know he was there. We know he was dead. He's not here. And the stone is rolled away so that we can see today. Look this morning as you see the angel say, "Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Another passage says, that place where they laid him, the clothes are exactly how they were, with the napkin that had been wrapped around his head, laying perfectly flat, right where he just passed right through them. Glory to God. And he's not there. This morning, I want you to think about that stone being an obstacle between their joy and their sorrow, being an obstacle between their belief and their unbelief, being an obstacle today for these ladies as they come weeping, but they leave rejoicing. I want you to understand that stone that God himself rolled away so they could have victory in their lives, that stone represents some other things, some obstacles that perhaps are in our way this morning. And I want to share some of those obstacles, those things today that understand if God could roll away that stone, he'll roll away some things in your life. If he could roll away that obstacle so that the disciples could go on and literally start the church after church after church and eventually give their own lives for the cause of Christ. If he could roll away a stone, it would change their lives that much. My friend, he could change your life today too by rolling away any obstacle in the way. I don't care what it is today, God's able to get rid of any obstacle. You say, well, I could never do anything for God, but you can do something for God. You just need the Lord to roll away the obstacle. Oh, I could never be a good parent for the Lord. Oh, you could be a good parent. You could be a good grandparent. You could be a good Christian. You can serve God. You can do anything today because God can eliminate, he can roll away any obstacle that might stop you. Anything today. Number one is the stone of deception. And it's amazing when you read this, Matthew 28, verse 11. I read this the other night after the cantata, Matthew 28, verse 11. I think about those guards, and in my mind, I always like to kind of go through the story, and I just imagine those guards that were guarding it. Hey, this is pretty boring, you know. Can you hear me? One of them looks at the other and says, Flavius, what are we going to do tonight? It's kind of boring, guarding a stone in a tomb. You know, it's kind of boring. Not much going on around here. Everybody's dead, right? And can you imagine what it was like as, of course, Jesus passed through that stone? I don't know. They may have seen him go through the stone and in his resurrection and may have took off then. I don't know. But in my mind, that earthquake takes place and that stone is rolled away. Maybe they look in and say, ah, You know, it's like, he's gone. How'd that happen? And they're out of there. But the Bible says in Matthew 28, says, verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, these are the guards, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And you have to understand now, they're in trouble. They're in big trouble because they have to tell the chief priest, he's not there. He is just gone. I mean, we don't know what to do. And verse 12, when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel and gave large money unto the soldiers, they gave large money unto the soldiers. You see that? Huh. Isn't that something? That's a shock. You know, I think stuff like that happens today. I know you can't even imagine that. Any corruption in the government at all. Or in religion. It's hard to even imagine, isn't it? They assembled with the elders. They took counsel. Can you imagine what that council was all about? We cannot explain where he is. He's gone. Oh, his disciples. No, we were there. We had our swords. There is no way the disciples. Shh. I said the disciples took him. No, no, no. You don't smite him. Now, did the rest of you guards understand what I said? Well, I said to the rest of you guards, here's some money. Now do you understand what we said? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, his disciples stole him. Yeah. I don't know how they fought through those guards. Do you? You know, when Peter was trying to hit one of the guards with his sword, he cut off his ear. He wasn't much of a swordsman. Right? Verse 13, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Now, we have enough money. We're going to let everybody know his disciples came and stole the body. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. His disciples stole. There's no resurrection. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. His disciples came. And they broke the seal after they chased off the guards. Oh, no. They were asleep. That's it. All the guards were asleep. Satan's PR machine is pretty slick. Still is today. It really is. The Bible says about Satan, Jesus called him in John chapter 8, he called him the father of lies. So he's good at it. So many people are deceived today. And so many people believe that the disciples came and stole his body. They just tiptoed over all the sleeping guards, right? Maybe a guard awoke and they, with all their force, were able to overcome him. How foolish. Total foolishness. It'd be like our pastoral staff here at our church overcoming some guards, you know? Can you imagine? About five Jonathan Daniases and we get in a fight with them. Oh, that'd really be great. Huh? Hello? But the deception, you know? The deception. Satan's PR machine is real good. So many people are deceived today. So many people. You hear this often. Well, there are many roads to heaven. You know, that's a lie of the devil. There aren't many roads. There's only one road to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus made it very clear. I hear religious people saying this all the time. I've heard some, I know it's hard to even believe. People say, we believe the Bible, but we believe that there are many ways you can get to heaven. They're trying to link up Islam and Christianity now. Unbelievable. There's a whole bunch of folks saying, yeah, that makes sense. There's only, you know, Allah, God, whatever you want to call him, it doesn't matter. Oh, but it does matter. Because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way. Doesn't say by Baptist. Doesn't say by Methodist. Doesn't say by Presbyterian. It says, you come by me, Jesus. That's the only way. There is no other way. And anything else is deception of Satan. Somebody will say, well, there's a lot of religions in the world today. And there are a whole bunch of religions. But you have to understand, in reality, there's just two. I mean, if you really want to narrow it down, there's just two. We can simplify this whole thing. There's just two. Okay? One way is man saves himself. The other way is God saves man. That's the two religions. It all boils down to that. It's either man's work or God's work. It's either I'm doing it or God did it. That's our two religions. That's all there is. It all starts with Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And honestly, we're deceived by our pride because we don't like that. If we somehow think that a sinner can save himself, we really think we're something, don't we? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, if all have sinned, how could any one of them ever save anything? That's us. But when he came, he never sinned. Bible says he was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. He could save. He could be the sacrifice. He could be the Savior. But we're deceived. Man is deceived by his own pride to think that he can somehow save himself. But you see, these ladies came and they knew. They knew. And when they saw that empty tomb, they knew. They knew that he rose from the grave. They would not believe the deception that was going to be passed on from so many people. They would not follow the deception. They would not believe the deception. They would not be like so many today that think, well, man is the measure of all things. Man can do everything on his own. They would understand that God raised him from the dead. They would understand that up from the grave, he arose. And they would understand that it was not because of anything any man did. And he said, because I live, you too shall live. Amen. 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 You know, they saw the empty tomb, but later they saw Jesus himself. And they would not believe the deception that would be passed on. I'm not so amazed that the world believes the deception. It just absolutely amazes me, Brother Perry, when Christians follow the deception and start falling for all that garbage that, there's many roads to heaven and many religions and everything's okay and we're just all going to be Barney Baptists together and I love you and you love me and all that kind of stuff. Listen to me, that is not how it is. And when you tell somebody that you can get to heaven by your own works, when you tell somebody that you can get to heaven by any other way, Jesus said neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other way. Well, as long as you're sincere, there's a lot of sincerely wrong people in our world today. And you have to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Anything else is the deception of the devil. They had years ago, there was a fellow, they simply called him Mr. Brown. And because of crimes he committed, he was hanged until he died. And they decided that some scientists decided to experiment on this body because it didn't seem that anybody really cared. And they used an electric probe to touch the nerves with electricity. And they would touch a certain nerve and his arm would move. They touched a nerve over here and this arm moved. They touched a nerve and his leg kicked. And they were all excited. They said, you know, we have finally been able to raise a man from the dead. They placed him on the floor and he went, that's the deception of man. Do you understand? They know how to make a body. All the minerals and all the chemicals and everything to make a body. But they haven't figured out how to give it life. You know why? Because only he gives life. That's the only way. And don't be deceived, folks. Don't be deceived. You're here today without Jesus Christ. I beg you to get saved today. Boy, I can't think of a better day than Easter Sunday. Oh, don't be deceived by, well, he's not alive. Don't be deceived by he didn't come out of that tomb. Don't be deceived by there's all roads and you can do this and you can do that. Do not be deceived. Roll away. Let him roll away that stone of deception. Number two is a stone of doubt. It kind of ties in with it. the stone of doubt. You know, back in Mark 16, there were those who had not seen. There are those who had not seen the stone rolled away. There were those who had not seen the Lord Jesus yet. And verse 10, she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. There were some that believed not. They had not seen him. And so they believed not. They had not seen the stone rolled away. So they believed not. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And so there were some more that had not seen the stone rolled away. They had not seen Jesus. And verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Oh, we need that stone of doubt to be rolled away. He said he would rise again. Eventually, for these 11, they would have no doubt. I think they went back and they looked at that empty tomb. I think they studied him as he talked and as he preached. And I think they watched him and they realized that, hey, this thing is real. It's true. I believe. By the way, they eventually believed so much, they would eventually die for the cause of Christ. By the way, one of the greatest proofs of his resurrection is these men. And by the fact that they didn't steal his body, would you die for a lie? No, they knew, and they died for that cause because they knew that cause was true. By the way, they died rejoicing because they knew that there was life after death. They knew the grave couldn't hold Jesus, and the grave wasn't going to hold them either, and it didn't bother them. Peter was crucified upside down, history says, because he was not worthy, he felt, to die as his Lord did. Oh, listen. They saw the empty tomb and they saw Jesus and they believed. That's why the Bible says ye may know that ye have eternal life. Ye may know. Ye may know because God can roll away the doubt. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's how he rolls away your doubt. You get in this book and read. You get in this book and you listen to preaching. And you're not going to hit and miss church and not have a whole lot of doubt. You're not going to hit and miss the assembling, as Thomas did. Thomas missed. The meeting was called of the apostles, and everybody's there. I don't know where Thomas was. Thomas, he was probably watching a ball game. You know, I don't know where Thomas was. Maybe he was out shopping with his wife. I don't know where Thomas was, but I know he wasn't there. And Jesus appeared, and the other disciples saw Jesus, and they saw the nail scars in his hand. They saw the nail scars in his feet. They saw the hole in his side where the soldiers stuffed the spear up there. They saw, but Thomas didn't see. Thomas said, I don't believe it. I'm going to tell you, you skip church, you miss church, you don't read your Bible, you will be a doubter as well. But God will roll away that doubt. God will roll it away if you just listen to the Word of God. You won't doubt. I mean, you sit here today, and maybe this is the first time you came to church. And I'm not mad. I'm glad you're here. Praise God. I'm not getting on you. But you know, hey, you know, we'll come at Easter, but I got news for you. All the rest of the year, you could be getting your doubts rolled away. Amen. God can roll away doubt. Bible preaching, Bible teaching. Amen. The early church is on fire for God. Read the book of Acts. And you know why they're on fire for God? Because they believe the resurrection. You know why they're on fire for God when the Bible says James is killed with a sword? You know why people say, well, hallelujah, glory to God. You know why? Because they weren't worried about James rotting in some grave somewhere. They knew that James was in heaven with the Lord, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. They knew that death could not hold him because death didn't hold Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's interesting, Romans 10, real quick, Romans 10, verse 9. Our people know that when I say real quick, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm saying if you know that God hath raised him from the dead, call on him today. Do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Are you scared of death? Are you concerned? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Are you ready? Bible says Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready or do you have some doubt? If you have doubt today, God can roll that thing away. He'll roll it so far out of the way, but you have got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved today. He's rolling away the stone of doubt. Number three is the stone of discouragement. Well, he'll roll that thing away. I mean, you understand, 1 week before, we celebrated last week Palm Sunday, and 1 week before Easter Sunday, these ladies, as they're walking there early in the morning and they're getting ready to anoint the body of Jesus, and they haven't seen the rolled away stone yet. In my mind, I imagine they're thinking just 1 week ago, the people were shouting, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, and they're praising Jesus. And then it'd just be a couple more days and they'd be shouting, Crucify him. And they're just so heartbroken. They watched him beaten and nailed to that cross. No doubt they've shed many tears. But you know, that stone, that obstacle, that discouragement being rolled away, it changed to joy real fast. And there's so much discouragement today. I would encourage you today, look in that empty tomb. Look inside that empty tomb. I mean, there's terrorism everywhere. There's politicians, jockeying for position. You never know. You read in the paper this and read that. You don't know what's true out there. There's money problems. There's economy problems. There's relationship problems. Listen to me. Let God roll away your discouragement today. I get so frustrated with Christians who are discouraged. I don't understand. I understand the world being discouraged. You're here today without Christ. I understand you being discouraged. But God can roll away that discouragement. And Christian, he can roll it away for you as well. Look inside that empty tomb. The offertory today. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. You're dreading getting up in the morning. You're upset because next week, I got to go back to work. Same old, same old. Hey, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along the narrow way. He lives. Look in that tomb. The angel said, he's not here. I don't think he whispered it. I don't think he muttered it. I think he shouted. Oh, your life ought to be a life where we realize he lives. And let God roll away that stone of discouragement. Because he lives, the blind see. Because he lives, the deaf hear. Because he lives, the dumb speak. Because he lives, the lame walk. Because he lives, drunks can be made whole. Because he lives, a drug addict doesn't have to be addicted anymore. Because he lives, a prisoner can be set free. Because he lives, your life can be changed. Let him roll away the stone of discouragement today. Number four is a stone of defeat. I think about those demons cheering and jeering as Jesus hung on the cross. I think about Satan. Marveling. He's dying. He's dying. Look at him die. It looked bad. I like that song choir sometimes sings, Then Came Sunday. I love that. I think some disciples, when Jesus said, It is finished, I think in their minds they had to wonder, Brother Denias, just a little bit, all our plans. All our thoughts, the cause we've given our lives to. He just said it. It's finished. It's all over. I think they wondered that. They took off. Had Jesus failed? One thing the disciples knew, they failed. Every one of them knew they failed. Every one of them blew it. The Bible says they forsook him and fled. Peter denied him. They failed. Peter cursed so they wouldn't know who he was. I see Peter cowering, hiding in a corner, trying to avoid everybody looking at him. They knew they failed, didn't they? And I guarantee, in their failure, I promise you this, Satan had his bony finger pointed at him. You're a failure. Peter, you're a failure. You're a failure. Matthew, you're a failure. You're a failure. Look at you. You failed your God. You failed your Jesus. You failed. You're a failure. By the way, Satan always does that, pointing out their failure and their defeat. Bible says that because of that, a couple of them in just that short time, they went back to their old lives. But you know, when that stone was rolled away, it rolled away their defeat. And all of a sudden, things looked different. Are you listening to me today? You've heard it enough, haven't you? You've heard it enough. Satan said to you, you're a failure, you're a flop. You're no good, you're nothing. You failed, you failed, you failed. You've heard it. Hey, listen, the stone's rolled away. It's not defeat. We are more than conquerors, my Bible says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. How can you do all things through Christ? He conquered death. I can do all things through Christ. And you know, all of a sudden, those disciples, something sort of picked up in them, kind of perked up in them. Hey, 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 I'm not a failure. I'm not a failure. I don't have to quit. Some of you today, you've suffered a spiritual defeat. Understand this. Satan accuses you, and he's after you. And maybe you've gone back to your old life. Look in the empty tomb this morning. Realize that because he lives, you can live. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. You're not made for defeat. You're made for victory. You're not made to cower in a corner. You're made to stand and rejoice. God did not make us to be defeated. God made us to be victors. Let him roll away the stone of defeat today. Quit letting the devil stomp on you. We win. We win, Christians. We win. We win. I've read the end of the book. We win. And because of Resurrection Sunday, because of Easter Sunday, I know we win. Can you imagine the demons when Jesus got up? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Satan when Jesus got up? Can you imagine the nastiest, ugliest, most hideous demon all around? They're gathered around, maybe laughing and mocking, and all of a sudden, look, he got up. Can you imagine? I think they might have tried to stop him. You can't go. Huh? Listen to me. They'd like to keep you down too. The stone of defeat, let it be rolled away in your life today. Why don't you walk out of this place victorious? Quit cowering to defeat. You know what? I'll be honest with you. There's not a person in this room that hadn't failed. Not one. Not from here all the way back. Every one of us has failed. And we fail over and over and over again. But I'm not going to let the stone of defeat keep me from doing anything for God. It's just an obstacle that God wants to roll away. Let him roll it away in your life today. Don't be defeated any longer. And then the last thing, we've seen the stone of deception, the stone of doubt, the stone of discouragement, the stone of defeat. Number five is the stone of death. Oh, let me tell you, he rolled that away. Verse 6, he's not here. He's risen. He's not here. Later on, another passage, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. You're looking for somebody who's alive. Well, you know, we came to the cemetery because he was buried. What? He's what? He's alive? He's really alive? Oh, yeah. The empty tomb echoes the song. Up from the grave he arose. I love it. Amen. Huh? The tomb is spooky. Death is dark and scary. but Jesus conquered it. Amen. They're in this tomb. They can see. Why is it so bright? Because death has been defeated. Glory to God. I wish some of you would tell your face to be happy. Oh, hallelujah. And you know, there's something about that resurrection. It just sort of takes that fear away. When I, in my mind, go into that tomb and I look in there and I see those grave clothes just laid out there real nice and neat. You know, just like if I was laying there and all of a sudden, poof, I'm gone. And the clothes just go. You like that, don't you? Huh? If I was wearing a hat, it would just go. That's what it says. It says that the napkin on his head that was wrapped around his head, it just went. Why? There's no body in there. I love it. I don't know if that's the way the rapture is going to be or not. We just go, and our clothes just go, you know, and we're just gone. I don't know. I like it, though. Huh? Some of you, really? Huh? Oh, you know, I went to the doctor. Doctor said I'm going to die. You are. Doctor didn't tell you anything, and you had to pay to have him tell you that. That's what's sad. We're going to die unless rapture takes place. Amen. It's like my wife and her mom. They like to practice how they're going to smile. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to take a picture, give it to the whatever that guy's called, the mortician. Ooh, that sounds morbid. Anyway, and they'll practice. They'll kind of. You know, but it's just reality. I know it's hard for me to believe too, but you say, how could you even talk about things like that? I'm just scared to death. There you go. Death. I'll tell you, for the Christian, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So when the body goes, and all that's left is clothes, and fillings, and titanium knees and hips. It'd be more like a clunk, you know. But clunk, tick, 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 tick. Just your imagination. But you know what? Where am I? I'm with him. Why? Because death would love to wrap its claws around me. But it can't. He said, John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. It's appointed unto man once to die, but who's going to roll away the stone of death? Oh, he already did. And I can look inside, and it's empty. It's empty. Young preacher was going to preach his first funeral, and I remember those days, believe me. Boy, it's a tough thing. You get out all your notes and everything. But this preacher, he was told about the death of one of his members, and he had to preach his very first funeral. And so he started to search his Bible for something to preach at the funeral, and he thought, you know, I'm going to preach one of Jesus' messages. So he was looking all through the Bible for Jesus' funeral messages. And you know what he found out? He found out Jesus never preached a funeral message. You know why? Because every funeral he went to, the people came back to life. Hallelujah! Ken Diaz, my assistant, died. And died in a car wreck. And we had Tom Williams come. And he helped help me preach the funeral service. And I'll never forget. We were in there praying. And you know how Dr. Williams prays. I mean, it just is. And I was just a young preacher. And I hadn't really thought about a lot of things that Dr. Williams talks about. And he was praying before we went out, and he said, and God, if Jesus came into the room today and the rapture were to take place, well, our brother Ken, he'd just get up. And I actually opened my eyes and I looked. You know, that's how it is. That's what we're going to do when we die. We're just going to get up. Amen. We'll just get up. Just get up. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm done. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Got to read it. It's so good. O death, where is thy sting? You sit here today and you're trembling, thinking about dying. Sitting here today and you're, oh, you know, I'm getting old. You are. By the way, don't pay a doctor to tell you that either, because it's true. Huh? I mean, you know, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You ever talk to somebody, if you're buying cemetery plots, you know, they'll say, well, and there you'll rest in peace for eternity. No, you won't. They don't know what they're talking about. Now my wife, she wants to be by a tree. I say, now, you know, are we going to be looking at that tree? Or anyway, but you know what? That vault, and this I told Jamie, you know, as we were coming up, I said, here we go, getting after those funeral vaults. You know, you have a 50-year guarantee on that thing. No, you don't. I'd love to see if they have rapture proof for their vault. No such thing, huh? By the way, who'd want it? Who wants to? Yeah, okay, you have a choice. Heaven with a glorified body, or you know, that body rotten in a vault. I'll take heaven. But anyway, you know, praise God. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let him roll away the stone of death. Let him roll away the stone of deception. Let him roll away the stone of doubt. Let him roll away the stone of discouragement. And this morning, let him roll away the stone of defeat. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one talking, no one looking around. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. This Easter morning, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone like that, you'd say, please pray for me. I am not sure I'm saved. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm the only one looking. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not point you out. You say, please pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Raise your hand right now. God's speaking your heart about it. You're not sure you're saved. Pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Anyone at all? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all? How many would say, preacher, I am a Christian. I'm saved, but God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over, all over, all over, all over, all over. Thank you. God bless you. Father, please give us victory. Thank you for rolling away the stone that we could realize that it's empty. Thank you for rolling away obstacle after obstacle after obstacle in my life. And I pray you'll do that for folks today in Jesus' name. Amen.